Would you turn with me to the book of Malachi? Malachi. You can find Matthew and turn one chapter back, or two chapters, three chapters back, you'll find Malachi. To chapter 1, Malachi chapter 1. Last Sunday we began a brief and short series on worship. I'm going to bring that second message today. Talk to you about keys to worthy worship. So in Malachi chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 6. And would you stand in honor of reading God's word? I want to make sure you can find that. Find that if you need another moment or two. And then stand with us as you find it. We're going to read beginning with verse 6. And we're going to read down through a couple of verses into chapter 2. It's not a long passage. You may recall that this passage is Malachi, God's prophet, and he's speaking to the priests in the temple in this passage. He's speaking to the priests. So let me ask you, is he speaking to the congregation here? You bet he is. Because do you realize that God's word says that we are each a priest before God? Because we don't have to go to someone to take our needs to the Lord, amen? He says that we are a nation of priests, given the privilege to go straight to the throne room of God without having to ask any other man's permission. There we go. I was going to get it out. Don't have to ask anyone's permission. We don't have to have anyone's help except the Lord God and His Holy Spirit. Amen? So when it talks about the priests, guess what? He's speaking to us now. And he's speaking to the priests then who would not make proper sacrifices and would not make proper offerings to the Lord. And so now he's speaking to us. So we turn to God's word, beginning with verse 6 of Malachi chapter 1. God speaking tells Malachi to share this with his people. God said, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I'm the father, where's my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name? And yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? God said back, you offered defiled food on my altar. And you say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying that the table of the Lord is contemptible. In other words, we don't take it seriously. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? But now, entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Who is there, even among you, who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its fruit, its food, is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. In other words, when it came time to worship, they said, oh, this is all boring. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what's blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared or mightily revered among the nations. And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. So let me stop. Who is this commandment to? What did it say? The priests. Who are the priests before God? Point to a priest if you only got one that you can point to. Yeah, that's right. Us. You. Each of us. Who is the priests before God? We are. And he says, and now, O priests. So in other words, when you read this, you need to say, you need to read this and say, oh, now, O me, myself, this is to me. This commandment is for you. If you will not hear and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already because you do not take it to heart. Well, what an uplifting passage. What a disturbing thought that God would have to curse the blessings that he's given us. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I've given you much. You have so many blessings. I'm going to curse your blessings. Wow. Last week, we spoke very briefly about worship being our great essential. Do you remember? I hope and pray you were here. If not, you might recall that God's word says that worship is our great essential. We need it. And God desires it from us. This morning, we were told right from the beginning that what we do is an offering to God. It is worship. How we pray, how we hear, how we sing, how we respond to the Lord. That's our worship and that's our offering. Worship is still our great essential. Are we giving God our lame? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we stand sobered to be reminded, Lord, that our offering to you is to be our very best, whatever it is, whether it's money or time, service, singing, hearing, being, whatever it is, Father, it's to be to our utmost and with your help to become even better so that it would glorify you. Today, Father, as we look at worship, we ask for your Holy Spirit's help, Lord, to discern in us where we give faulty offerings. God, would you help us as we stand, sit, walk, run, serve, whatever it is, Lord, that it will be done to your honor and your glory. We look at your word and we pray for its inspiration to move our hearts closer to you. Can you say amen to that prayer? Amen. Would you be seated? Some of you have heard of a philosopher by the name of Karl Barth. He wrote this about worship. He said this. Let me just read it to you. Christian worship is the most momentous, most urgent, the most glorious action that can take place in human life. Anybody agree with that? Listen, as a Christian, we realize that's true. Now, whether we live it or not doesn't make this true or not. It's true whether we live it or not. We hope and pray that our life would live it. Now listen to Malachi, because Malachi has something different to say. As we go back and read from Malachi what God's word told him, Israel's worship was so repugnant to God that God wanted the temple doors to be closed so that people wouldn't come in and offer their defiled offerings. I mean, that's pretty bad, isn't it? When God says, somebody shut the doors to the church. Don't let anybody in with what they've got to offer. Listen, that must have been pretty bad. So which is it for us today, priests? Which is it for us this morning? Is our worship pleasing to God or is it repugnant to God? It totally depends on your attitude. You know, it doesn't have to be all that we did or didn't do this last week. As we come to God and we stand before him and we ask for forgiveness and we repent of our sin and we're made right with God, then the worship container can be clean and ready to go again. Amen? Thank you, God. But which is it? It all depends on our heart. It depends on our life. It depends on our attitude. Israel's worship was so repugnant to God because of their poor attitude and their abuses toward it because they presented defiled offerings before God. They gave God their leftovers and they gave God their cast-offs. They were bored with worship. They had an attitude of weariness, an attitude of disgust. Oh, when is this going to be over? They said. And listen, the whole nation was suffering because of it. They had an economic disaster. They had a spiritual misery because their worship was defiled. You want to bring about a blessing on God's nation? Let the worship be right before God. Amen. When we worship God as we should, God blesses. But when we don't worship right, he says, I'm going to curse your blessing. We've got to admit, don't we, that sometimes our worship is no better than what Israel was recorded with here. We see much of the same kind of bad attitudes, don't we? And a lot of the same abuses, an indifference towards worship. Or maybe even people, and that indifference leads to not attending at all. Thank you for not being indifferent to worship today, for being here. God bless you. I pray you will. And I pray that even though I might be stepping on some toes, I pray that it brings a flowing of blood back to the heart. Amen. Spiritual well-being cannot be had if our worship is bad or poor. Worthy worship must be reestablished for that to happen. So the big question this morning that I want to bring to you is this. What is worthy worship? So have we been doing it right? Have we been doing good worship? Have we been doing worthy worship to the Lord? Let me share with you some keys that I pray will help you to understand what makes worthy worship. First key, okay? The first key was found in verse 14. If you got your Bible open, you can look back there. And Malachi 1:14 said that God said, my name is to be mightily revered. Now, a lot of the versions say feared. But that word revered is translated as feared a lot of times. Mightily revered. So the first key to worship is reverence to God. Revering God, mightily revering God. Now, to revere, of course, we understand it has a lot to do with fear, but understand it's not a cringing that says, oh, I'm just so afraid I'll never get. No, the fear is we know how mighty you are. We want to do this right. Are you with me? Not running from God in fear, but running to God with an open heart that says, examine me and make it right so I don't have to be judged. That's the kind of fear that God wants from us. To revere means to respect. It means to admire. It means to have awe. It means to have value in the one that you're worshiping. So the purpose of worship, dear friends, is to honor God. If we're here and we're not honoring God, if our worship doesn't honor God, it's defiled. It's an ugly, deformed, broken sheep offering. Psalms 95:6-7 says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel down before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. I think reverence starts there. God, that we bow down before you. Revelation 4:11 says, worthy art thou, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Is God worthy of that? Let me ask you, not a rhetorical question this time. Is God worthy of honor and glory and power? Is he? Then the way we worship should reflect that. Amen? So much of worship today is focused on the worshiper and not God. So much is brought to say, well, I'm worried about what the people might think of this. Listen, our thought ought to be, I'm worried about what God would think of this. The focus of true worship is always on God. Always. Not on the place, not on things, and not on a person. No matter who that person may be, unless it is the Lord our God. Back in the 19th century, there was a very famous preacher. You probably heard his name at some point over the years. Henry Ward Beecher was such an orator that people would come from hundreds and even thousands of miles away, and they would get there and they would go to his church because they wanted to hear him preach because he was such an orator. I mean, they said that he could just flow. I don't know what else to say. But on one Sunday, he was gone, and there was a guest preacher, and they had learned not to announce that there's going to be a guest preacher because folks wouldn't come. So as it came time for the sermon, the guest preacher was announced, and he stepped into the pulpit, and the place just began to empty. Hundreds of people got up to leave, and the guest pastor stood up and said, "May I have your attention, please?" Everybody stop, and everybody stopped. And he said, "Let me make this announcement. All those who came to worship Henry Ward Beecher may now withdraw from the church. But those who came to worship God, would you remain?" Do we sometimes give our worship to the wrong things? Many people attend for the wrong reason, or for superficial reasons. Perhaps sometimes we feel it a duty to be in church, right? I mean, doesn't God's word say to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, right? Well, we're going to do that, God. So check the box. Maybe we come to church to see our children perform, or maybe it's just because we want our children to learn about God. Well, praise God for part of that anyway. Maybe it's to hear a certain preacher. Maybe it's to enhance business opportunities. Or maybe it's just to see your friends. Or maybe it's to watch people. That's fun. Maybe it's to see the latest fashions. You know, it might be just to get out of the house. You know, I remember a lot of people said, "Man, I couldn't wait to get out of the house. Just get away." Listen, is that why we come to church? Is that why we come to worship? You know, there are many, many reasons that people come to a worship service, but the best reason and the real reason we ought to come is to give honor and praise and glory to the Lord our God. Nothing wrong with receiving a few byproducts from being in church. I love the fellowship here. I love seeing you. I'm the first one to get a handshake and a hug, and I love it. But you know what? That's not why we're here. We're here to worship the Lord our God. Worship should never be an attempt to entertain the congregation. And I think that worship has become such a production in some people that we forget what it's all about. We're not here to stir up emotions. That's not my job, to try to stir up your emotions or to manipulate you into a decision. You know what my job is? It's to be a signpost that points to the Almighty. And when I point to the Almighty and your attention is drawn to the Almighty and who He is and what He's done and how much He loves you, then I've done a job worthy of worship. There's a second key to worship. Not only should there be reverence, but folks, there needs to be a result from worship. And there ought to be a result in the worshiper. That's you, and that's me. I'm the worshiper too. Even though I stand, the one who's standing on the stage this morning, I'm a worshiper too. And our worship should have a result in the worshiper. When we truly worship God, our lives are changed. You cannot truly, honestly, purposefully worship God that something doesn't change. Malachi chapter 1 verse 9 implies to us that worship entreats God's favor. Malachi chapter 1 verse 9. Let me just read what it says there. It says, "Now entreat God's favor, that He may be gracious to us." Amen? I'm all for that. How about you? Entreat God's favor? How many vote for entreating the favor and not the wrath? Scripture says that worship is a time that we entreat God's favor. And we entreat God's favor not just by coming in and saying, "Oh, God, be good to me." The whole idea is that our worship so reflects a love and an honor and a glory to God that the father says, I love my kids. Here. You ever done that with your kids? You ever withheld a popsicle when they weren't good? When we truly worship God, our lives will be changed. And how can we expect God's favor when our worship is repulsive? When our worship is not honoring to God? But when a worshiper, it's us, truly gives to God, they receive from God. When true worship is experienced, the worshiper receives benefits as well. We receive a benefit from our worship of God. You know, we may think, oh, well, you know, God is the greatest benefiter of worship. No, he's not. He's do that. He is worthy of that. We're the ones who get the greatest benefit when we do it right. What, are you going to make God more holy by your worship? Only in our own minds. True. But when we worship right, he does become greater. Not by, he is greater, but in our own minds we begin to understand it deeper. Does that make sense? I don't want you to think, oh, pastor said my worship makes him better. No, listen, God can't get any better, amen? God can't get any greater, but what he can do is grow in your own heart and understanding. That's what I mean. So what do we receive when we come to God? First of all, we receive pardon, because when we worship God properly, we realize our place and we realize our need and we ask for God's forgiveness and we receive pardon from God. Worship helps our hearts to be right with God, and that opportunity provides experience for God's forgiveness. Secondly, we receive power when we honor and glorify and worship God. Because when we worship properly, we are drawn closer to God in that worship. And by being closer to God, it gives us more opportunity to tap into the power and the glory of God. We become more under his control. And when we become more under his control, we certainly see the power of God. The third thing we receive is peace. Worship provides an opportunity to experience God's comfort. Listen, after we get in God's presence and we realize, oh, woe is me, I am a sinner. And then when we confess and we ask forgiveness and he cleanses us and he brings us back in a right relationship, we can't help but want to draw closer to him. And folks, that is when we receive his peace. Worship provides an opportunity for that comfort. Now listen, I don't need to tell you that we live in an age of anxiety. Amen? Wow. Do you know what the two biggest causes of anxiety are today? Yesterday and tomorrow. True. We worry about what happened and we worry about what's going to happen. Listen, can I tell you something? God is the same yesterday and today and forever. God has not changed. God will not change. And he loves you with an everlasting love. Why don't you quit worrying about yesterday? Give it to God. Quit worrying about tomorrow. Give it to God. Real worship reminds us that God is in control and that he is working all things to the good of those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. So does God work everything to the good of everybody? No. It's not what that scripture in Romans 8 says. It says God works all things together for the good of those who what? Love the Lord. For those who are what? Called according to his purpose. That means that you are seeking the purpose of God. There's a fourth result to the worship, and that's purpose. Oh, I preach a lot about purpose. Do you know what your purpose is? Do you know what your reason for living is? Do you know what your job is as an individual? To glory God. Bring him glory. Glorify God. There is nothing, listen to me, there is nothing more fulfilling in this world There is nothing more fulfilling in any life than accomplishing what we were made for. Nothing more fulfilling. And we were made to glorify God. That's what your purpose is, to glorify God. Worship affirms our purpose. And contrary to what the world is going to tell you, nothing will bring you more pleasure than fulfilling your purpose in God. Now, the world's going to tell you, oh, that's not true. God puts too many rules in your life. Eat what you want, do what you want, have sex with who you want, steal from who you want, do this, do that. Whatever it happens to be, the world says, whatever you want, just do it. That's up to you. You do and you be whatever. The world says you can have pleasure in that. I'm going to tell you it brings misery because you don't follow God's path. And when we actually bring glory to God, that's what brings pleasure. I know that there are temporary pleasures in this world, but I don't want a temporary pleasure. I want an eternal joy. So true worship, let me just recap that real quick. True worship provides the setting for us to find each of those needs. Forgiveness for our sins, power for our weakness, peace for our anxiety, and purpose and stability for our life. Anybody want to sign up for that? That's what worship brings to us. Let me just tell you that if you come to church, and when you leave church, you leave with a stronger faith, you leave with a brighter hope, you leave with a purer heart. If you leave church with a deeper love for Christ Jesus, for the love of God the Father, and with your will more resolute to follow and be obedient to God, dear friend, you have worshiped. Whether it was a celebratory worship or whether it was a very peaceful, lamenting time where we got our hearts right with God, whatever that worship was and however it was brought to you, if you left with those things happening, then friend, you've worshiped. There's a third key to worship. And that's not just a reception from the worshiper, not just giving God his reverence, but folks, that third one is a response from the worshiper. We had a something giving to God, and now we have something. I mean, had something given to us. There we go. And now we've got something that we give to God, all right? Every true worship experience demands a response from the worshiper. In other words, every true worship experience brings a desire to give to God what is due him. We get from God, and when we get from God, if we truly worship, we desire to give something back. That's why we always have a time of response in our worship. Always. We have a time of response. Where does that, that'll occur at the end? No. That's the invitation. It's a response. But part of our response is when we kneel right here at this altar for prayer. And we're praying to God, yielding our hearts to him. Part of that time is when we sing and we give honor and glory to God through song. And we praise him. And we lift our voice, and sometimes we lift our hands, but we lift up our praise to God, and we give it to him. That's giving back to God. The way we do it in our church, we don't, you may have noticed, we don't pass an offering plate during the service. We have a receptacle in the back, and it says tithes and offerings. And when you give to God, that is a response back to God. When you give to the Lord, your tithes, your offerings. And then we do have a time at the end of the service where we make personal decisions and you can come and kneel and pray in response to our time of worship. Perhaps, folks, it's the most important time that we have. So I'm going to ask you that if you would help me to remember that in the invitation time, when the sermon is over, the sermon wasn't the most important time. So if you've been waiting to go to the bathroom, wait till after the most important time. I heard a preacher say it one time. He said, look, if you could just wait to go to the bathroom. He said, I know sometimes it's hard, but he said, we'll both offer it up as a sacrifice unto the Lord. Amen. He says, you won't go and I won't go during the service either. How about that? He said, wait a minute, I'll be right back. We understand that true worship gives a time to respond, and that time to respond is not just for everybody else, it's for you. And when you leave, you miss what God might be doing in your heart in that quiet time of prayer following worship. True worship desires to give God our very best. Malachi records some signs of faulty worship in his day. The withholding of tithes and offerings. Giving God only part of what they promised. Giving God polluted sacrifices, things that were not the best. Giving God their leftovers. I heard a preacher long ago, many, many years ago, he said when he was a boy, he said, my daddy was a preacher, and he would go from place to place to place, and he said, we lived a pretty meager subsistence. He said, that was the only job my daddy had. He said, so we depended on the offerings. He said, after he preached one Sunday, he said, a big rancher invited us to the house. He said, I want you all to come by later today. He said, I've got something for you, preacher. He said, I got so excited. He said, because this guy was wealthy. He said, he had a lot. So we went to his house and we visited for a while. And as it was about time to go, he goes, oh, yeah, I've got something for you. And he said, let's step out back. And he said, so they got up and they went through the living room. Didn't stop and get anything there. He said, they went through the kitchen. He said, I got excited. Maybe we're going to have a meal. He said, we walked right through the kitchen. Didn't get anything there. And we walked out on the back porch. And I thought, oh, my. Well, what have we got? And he said, then I got excited. We started walking towards the smokehouse. He said, in there were hanging hams and bacon. There was eggs lined up all along the side. He said, I was so excited. He said, man, he said, we were headed to the smokehouse. He said, that rancher stepped in there, and we stepped in that huge smokehouse with him, and he began to move aside the sides of bacon and the hams and the beef that was in there smoking. And he said, he reached back into the back, and he said, there was a little shelf on the back, and he reached back in there, and he grabbed two old rusty cans of hominy. And he said, here, pastor, I want you to have those. That was it. He said, I was never so disappointed. None of you have ever given me an old rusty can of hominy. Well, let me ask you, have you given God a rusty can of hominy compared to what you should be giving God? True worship desires to give God our very best. Amen. And true worship demands a response of surrender. Give up. God, I surrender to you. I lay down my life, Lord. It's as though it was dead. You use it as you see fit. One of my favorite stories, I've shared this before, but the best ones are worth repeating. I heard the story about an African village that was coming to know Jesus. They were growing in the Lord, and as they preached one day and as they taught one day, they got to the invitation and they said, now we're going to pass the offering basket, which had to be a big basket because nobody had money. So they gave of their goods, whether it was something they had grown or something they had made, and they had this big basket. So they passed the basket around where people were putting their goods in. There was one little girl who had just come to know Jesus, and she had nothing to give. She said, I didn't make anything. I didn't grow anything. And she was so overwhelmed with the passion of loving the Lord that when the basket came by, she just... and got in the basket. Precious Moments captured that with one of their little figurines. Have you ever seen it? Put it up there. You see what he's sitting in, right? I can't help but believe with all my heart that a true worshiper experiences a similar response to say, God, here I am. God, I want to be the offering. True worship demands a response of surrender. Isaiah had a response like that. Do you remember in Isaiah chapter 6 when Isaiah was called to be a prophet, called to be a preacher? Isaiah chapter 6 verses 1 through 8, it says this, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple." Oh, so much we could come back and preach here maybe another day. "Above it stood seraphim." Remember the special angels. "Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried out to the other and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Oh, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew over to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and he said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged.'" You think Isaiah was worshiping? And he said, "I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?'" And Isaiah had a response of worship. Because what did he say? "Here am I, Lord. Send me." If you should go to church, or if you go to a mountain and truly worship, if you go to church and worship, but you never feel compelled to give of yourself sacrificially to God, you never feel compelled to sacrificially join God in what he's doing, you have not truly worshiped. If you should go to church to worship, and all you gave was the leftovers of your life, whether it was your time, your efforts, or your money, and it was just your leftovers, you did not worship. If you should go to church to worship, but you don't feel the urge to get into God's offering basket, or to say with Isaiah, "Lord, here I am, send me," you did not truly worship. I'm not saying you have to go to Africa to be a missionary, but I do say you better be willing to go across the street if God should so send you. In true worship, we are compelled to respond in some meaningful way to God's grace. We are compelled to respond in some meaningful way to God's grace in our life. For the forgiveness of sin, for the blessings that he pours out. You see, worship is not something that we do to please other people. Worship is something, not something that we do to come to entertain one another. Not me, you, nor you, me. Worship is something that we do to stimulate our heart to love God more, to obey God. And real worship always leads to results in the life of the worshiper. And when we truly have worshiped, God will bless, and God will bless, and God will bless, and God will bless. And when we quit worshiping properly, he will have to curse the blessing. if God were to show up at your home, show up in your life, because you said, God, I've got something for you, would you walk through the living room? Would you get all the way through the kitchen? Would you get out the back door? Would you get to the smokehouse? What would you give God? Did you know that God has promised his presence here today, and he's already here with you? What will you put in his offering basket? And I hope and pray that we will respond as that little girl did. Say, God, here I am. And with Isaiah, say, here I am. Send me. Pray with me. Oh, Father, we do love you, Lord. We do want to serve you, Lord.
Hi, I'm Pastor Gary Ladd. It's our hope and our prayer that God's word has touched your heart today. Perhaps you'd like to ask God for his help in your life right now. Did you know that you can call on God's Holy Spirit to help you through prayer right now, right where you are? If you pray sincerely in faith, the Heavenly Father will hear your prayer. He'll hear your prayer of confession, of forgiveness, and for comfort. If you already know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you know that God wants you to be closer to him, to draw you in closer, would you pray right now and ask God to forgive you of your sin and to draw you in close to him, to that personal love relationship that God wants you to have? Did you know that God's word tells us in 1 John 1:9 that if you'll confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins? If you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart or into your life, dear friend, please do that today. He wants to have a personal love relationship with you. He wants to be your Lord and your Savior. If God's Holy Spirit is pulling on your heart right now, this is how you can receive him as your Lord and Savior today. It's really a very simple process of faith called admit, believe, and confess. Admit that you're a sinner and that you need God's help. Believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that he came to this earth, that he lived his perfect life, that he died on the cross for your sin, and that he rose again so that he might prepare a place for you in heaven. And then the last thing that you need to do is confess. Confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord, the boss of your life, and that he is your Savior. If you'd like to do that right now, you can pray a very simple prayer, invite him into your life. If you would, just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to know you personally. I acknowledge that my sins have separated me from you. Please forgive me of those sins, Lord. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me, to die in my place. And thank you, Father, that he rose again to be my Lord and my Savior. I now ask you to rescue me from my sin, and I place my faith in you alone for forgiveness and for eternal life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, and you prayed that prayer in faith, believing, then, dear friend, you've begun your spiritual walk with God through Jesus Christ. Please let us know about this, won't you? This is just the beginning, and we'd like to pray with you and for you and to help you to start your process of growing with Jesus Christ. Please contact the church offices of Grace Point at the email that you see right there on your screen. If you'd like to access other sermons or helps, or if you'd like to find out more about Grace Point Ministries, service times, Bible studies, youth or children's activities, please look us up at the website on your screen right now, gpf.church. Thank you for joining us for our worship broadcast today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.